It's the Class Teaching Podcast with James Crane.
Welcome to the Class Teaching Podcast, the Durrington Research School podcast. It aims to explore educational research and provide insights into how being an evidence-informed practitioner can support teaching and learning. Educational research does not provide a silver bullet, but coupled with teacher expertise, it can provide us with tried and tested approaches that the evidence suggests may lead to promising outcomes. In each episode, we will draw upon the experience of a teacher with a particular expertise in the area we are looking at. Durrington High School is a large coastal secondary comprehensive school based in West Sussex and has been designated a research school by the Education Endowment Foundation. You can follow us on Twitter at Durring Research. The purpose of this podcast is to help busy teachers like you connect with the latest thinking around ideas in teaching. In an accessible and easy format, we realise there is a wealth of blogs being published every week. The Class Teaching Podcast will start with me reading a blog and then spending some time with the author unpicking their thinking. This way you can listen on the drive to work or while walking the dog, rather than having to find the time to sit down in front of your screen during a busy day. Implementation and CPD by Mark Enser. Mark Enser is Head of Geography and a Research Lead at Heathfield Community College. He's an SLE and an ELE with the Durrington Research School, a TES columnist and author, and he tweets at Enser, E-N-S-E-R, capital M-A-R-K, at Enser Mark. Of all the EEF guidance reports, my favourite, I assume you all have a favourite, is their one on implementation. If we don't get the implementation right, then none of the other guidance reports are going to make a difference. The guidance on implementation suggests that schools work through four stages: explore, prepare, deliver, and sustain. I particularly like the explore stage, the way that the explore stage begins with identifying a tight area for improvement using a robust diagnostic process. This feels like an important change from what can happen in schools where people think of something that could be done, metacognition or feedback or questioning, and then think about how they could make the changes in school. This suggests taking a step back and first identifying what problems exist in school and then looking for a solution. This may sound obvious, but years working in dozens of schools as a specialist lead in education or an evidence lead in education shows that this common sense may not be as common as we'd hope. Once you have explored the issues and identified a potential solution, we can then start to prepare to implement any proposed changes. This not only involves devising a plan, but importantly, ensuring that the school has the capacity to deliver the plan. Do you have the time, resources, and expertise to do what you need to do? If not, the plan needs adjusting to source those things. This helpfully slows down the process from plan to launch and means that we are really ready before we take things out to sometimes critical and cynical eye of the staff room. The final part of the preparation stage is to begin getting staff ready for the implementation of the changes. And this is where CPD comes in. My co-author, Zoe Enser, and I have spent much of the last year reading research on effective teacher development for our new book, The CPD Curriculum. What this has revealed is just how complex this field is, and sadly, how much implementation falls down at the delivery stage, where the CPD doesn't lead to the expected changes. The teacher development agencies, evaluation into CPD providers, found that while CPD may do a good job at informing teachers, it didn't tend to lead to a transformation in their practice. Opfer and Pedders, Review into the Teaching Learning, suggest that this is a particular problem when CPT is limited to a style show in which teachers are shown what the finished product of the implementation may look like without the time to consider it in their own context or to plan to use it themselves. Kelly's paper on teaching learning suggests that another stumbling block is that much CPD ignores the teacher's identity, their view of themselves and of their role. When we are thinking of implementing a change on how teachers perform their roles, we need to consider how this aligns to their existing views. If we are introducing a change designed to improve exam results, how will this be seen by those who feel their role is the development of a child's social consciousness or to develop work skills? If they view their role as being to pass on the accumulated wisdom of previous generations, how will they respond to a change designed to embed career education into all lessons? These complications are reflected in the EEF implementation guidance, when they talk about ongoing support for staff rather than one-off CPD session, and then hoping it is being done as well as intelligent adaptation. We need to carefully monitor how the changes are going and that there is fidelity to the project. If there isn't, we need to be brave enough to rethink the plan. Does the delivery need improving, or the proposal itself? Only once we are satisfied that the delivery is working and we are seeing the changes we want to see, even only in performance at this stage rather than in outcomes, which may come much further down the line, can we start to ensure the sustainability of the project. If we don't plan for sustainability, changes fizzle out and die. What happens when new staff join, or new school leaders? How will the project outlive you? Staff turnover in schools can sadly mean that nothing becomes embedded because no one is around to keep the fire burning. Every year it needs to be rekindled. How is that going to work? After 18 years of teaching and of working with numerous schools, I have seen too many ideas come and go. Initiatives are launched, many with perfectly sensible ideas about how we could do things more effectively or more efficiently. But then after a fanfare and possibly some posters and groovy slogans, they are forgotten and the time has just been wasted. If we want to transform the way we do things in schools, then implementation needs to be tied to an excellent curriculum for CPD that leaves teachers capable of taking the idea and making it their own. Without this, we leave no legacy but half-remembered launches. By Mark Enser. So I'm joined now by Mark Enser, the author of the blog. So Mark, if you just want to sort of let us know who you are, where your background is and that, please.
Okay, I'm a geography teacher and have been for the last 18 years. I'm head of department. I'm also the research lead at Heathfield Community College, and I'm an SLE and an ELE Durrington Research School, and I'm a test columnist, and I write some books.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, one of your latest ventures is a new book, I believe, on the CPD curriculum. How's that coming along?
That's good. We're just waiting for it to come back from the printers, so... Yeah, be with us any day now.
Excellent. And I wanted to sort of just start with, you've mentioned the idea of the EEF implementation guide and the four stages. Do you just want to sort of explain a little bit about that guide and how it's so useful?
Yeah, one thing that I really like, so we've got the kind of four main stages that I discuss in the blog, but I also like the fact that it talks about the foundation first. There's kind of a hidden two stages first, which involve making sure that you've actually got enough time to do the thing you want to do, and making sure you have the school culture right. And I think that's something that often gets overlooked, but it's nice that it just sits there underneath everything else, that you don't just go and launch a new idea and a new policy without checking that you have the capacity to see it through, and that it's going to land on fertile ground. Otherwise, we're kind of wasting our time. And you've then got the four main stages that I discussed in the blog post, the idea of starting with exploration, actually beginning by thinking, what is the actual problem? Rather than, I've heard of this idea, we don't do that, we had better do that. But thinking, what's the problem that I have? What can I use to address it? So I get asked to run CPD sessions sometimes for schools or to help out with something. And they'll say something like, we don't do anything on metacognition. Could you do a session on that? So, well, okay, but why? What is it that you want it to do? And they don't always know. And I like that with the EEF report, is that you start with the problem, and then you say, well, what can we do to resolve that particular issue, rather than here's a solution in search of a problem?
Yeah, and I think I completely agree. That idea of almost shoehorning something in because you feel like it's really good at that present time, as opposed to this is a problem that we've had what's going to be the best vehicle to drive that or tackle that issue that we've got. And I think you've highlighted that really well in the blog post. One of the things that I wanted to sort of talk about, Mark, was this idea the idea of implementation is when you're there driving it is brilliant, but how do you make that sustainable? If you were to say leave the school, how would you know that element of whatever it is you've changed or moved or tweaked, how would you ensure that that's then sustainable? I just want to sort of pick your brain on that, really.
So I think, first of all, it still comes back to that exploration, because the reason that a lot of things burn out is because they were never solving a problem in the first place. They were never useful. They didn't do anything that people needed and were seeking a solution to. So actually, if you've implemented something that was solving a problem for people, people will continue to do that. I also think there's something in the way that CPD is then used to actually deliver whatever it is that you're trying to implement, to make sure that staff really understand the reason for the thing that you're bringing in, the kind of the why behind the what. Now, so if we're looking at something like retrieval practice, let's say a school's identified that pupils can't recall information after the lesson. And there's a real problem. They're doing the lesson, they seem to be working hard, but they can't recall it. So you're like, that's the problem. Retrieval practice might help. So you could just go to the staff and say, you need to be doing quizzes at the start of a lesson. Off you go. Go and do quizzes. But unless the staff realise what those quizzes are meant to lead to, they're going to end up saying, well, they're going to do a quiz, but they can refer back to their notes, which means they won't really be retrieving something. Or you can work together to do it. Or, well, I've got to do a quiz, but I don't know what the quiz is really for. Maybe it's a settling task. So I'm just going to quiz them on what they watched on TV last night. You know, unless you link it to what it's meant to be doing, it's not going to work. So I think CPD that really focuses on the thinking behind the policy is important to make sure you then get longevity with it.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And then obviously the timing of blogs is always something that I like to talk about. Why do you feel that this blog and this post is so relevant at present?
I think in both roles and SLEs and ELE, I spend too much time on Twitter talking to teachers and things. And it just seems to be this constant problem of launching things. And I keep on coming across schools that are launching something, or teachers work this, you know, this new thing in their school which is going to be launched. But it's not implemented. There really is just a focus on the thing. We're now doing the thing. And then often going back to people and they'll say, we did that. Oh, we did metacognition. We did retrieval practice. Or we did restorative justice. We did whatever it is as an event, as this one-off thing that happened when they got all the staff in the hall and told them about it. And I just think it's this perennial problem. And if we don't fix that, we're just wasting everybody's time. Now, teachers are busy. We have things we could be getting on with, and launching stuff at us isn't going to change education. But there are genuine issues in education that need to be fixed and resolved and improved. And it's not going to work if we don't follow things like the EEF implementation guidance.
Yeah, no.
So frustration, I think, explains the timing.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I sort of thought and took from it straight away was that people now are starting to look at September and thinking, right, we've got tags, we've done them, we've just waiting for the evidence to come through, September's coming, right, what are we going to do in September? And that's why I feel like the timing of this now is really good, because it actually makes you pause and think, yes, September is coming and it is the start of a new academic year, but that's not the reason to be starting to look at what CPD do we need to do. It's what are the problems that you've got at present, and then working from there.
Absolutely.
Obviously, in the blog post, you've mentioned your book that is at the printers, and obviously, I think I speak on behalf of quite a lot of people. We're quite eager to get our hands on it and have a read of it. Could you just sort of explain the ethos behind it, or the theories behind it, and what your readers do with it?
Yeah, so the book's a CPD curriculum, and the premise really is that staff development, teacher development, should have a curriculum in the same way that we would have for pupil development. And that we can apply a lot of the same curriculum thinking that we're increasingly using in school about intent and implementation impact. And we can use that when planning the curriculum for staff. It really came from both me and Zoe, kind of co-author and wife. You know, we wrote it together. came from us both just having sat through a lot of CPD sessions over the years in various schools, which didn't feel like continuing professional development. It wasn't continuing. There were just lots of one-off things. It wasn't very professional because we were just being told, go and do this with no rationale behind it. And we didn't feel developed. We didn't feel that this was making us improve. And reading the research on teacher development is fascinating. The way that teachers tend to improve quite rapidly for a couple of years and then plateau and don't really make further progress after that point, I think it's quite eye-opening. And in some ways, you could say, well, but firstly, maybe that's a natural plateau. Maybe you don't get better after those first couple of years. Maybe that's it. Maybe you've reached perfection. But we know it's not the case in all schools. In schools where they do have a decent CPD curriculum, teachers continue to improve and they continue to get better. And the second thought is, if it was true that you improved to a certain point and then plateaued and there was nothing you could do about it, why waste people's time with CPD? if we're genuinely saying that's just the way things are, then why do I have to keep going to the hall? Why do teachers keep getting dragged off and told, come and sit here and listen to me talk? We know teachers can improve, but we need to get the conditions right. And so that's kind of the premise of the book. It's how do you build a curriculum for teacher development? What does that look like? And what's the research behind it? So we look at things like David Cole's experiential learning cycle for how you can learn on the job and kind of vocational learning, which a lot of CPD is. It's training that you do whilst working. We look at things like Kelly's research into teacher development and what that looks like, Harry Fletcher Word. And so it's kind of a review of the research and then what that leads to. And then a lot of case studies of people who are actually doing it. So we've got kind of schools in there like Durrington who talk about what they are doing. I think the Durrington one is in terms of kind of departmental CPD and how they're making it work. So we can see what it looks like on the ground.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the really good things with CPD. And like you say, the idea of linking it to that curriculum element. It is going to be, like you say, case studies are really useful for it because it isn't going to be one size fits all. As with anything, it's all going to be sort of contextualized to school settings and what fits with you. So I look forward to
reading that. What we talk about quite a bit, the difference between novice teachers, expert teachers. If you've got a lot of teachers or NQTs, that's going to look different than our school, which you've got very experienced teachers. Your CPD shouldn't look the same, but we should understand the rationale for why that is.
Yeah, brilliant. And as with everything, Mark, very, very thought-provoking. And as I say, I quite look forward to reading that. But I just want to say thank you for taking the time to talk to me today and for letting me pick your brain on implementation and CPD.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Class Teaching Podcast by Durrington Research School.
It's the Class Teaching Podcast with James Crane.